Hi, I'm Lauren Edmonds. I'm the founder and owner of a school that supports children with learning delays. I'm hoping the space gives you something to think about.
Today, I want to talk a little bit about where I'm coming from as an educator. And I think the thing that needs to be said the loudest from my perspective is I'm coming from a parenting perspective of education. I started my school as a frustrated parent that was seeing the industry deal with my child in very isolated, narrow ways where every professional stayed in their lane and gave me tiny pieces of the puzzle. And the story of the eight blind men coming across an elephant and everybody arguing about what it was because they all felt a different part spoke directly to me as a mom, that everybody was talking to individual parts of my daughter and nobody was talking to the whole. So as a parent, I needed to look long and hard at what I was doing and what I was thinking and what I wanted for my child. And I came across one of the most remarkable books that I believe is out of print because I can't find it anywhere anymore. And I cherish my copy is Wayne Dyer's book, What Do You Really Want for Your Children? And the first meaty chapter there was about, do you want your child to value themselves? And the part of the chapter that I absorbed completely and took on seriously was the part that said, if you don't want them to value themselves, do these things. And I looked at that list and read that part and I thought, okay, I need to change if I want my child to change because she is just a child. At that point, she was only 6 years old. How can I ask her to change? I needed to be the catalyst. I needed to be the change first. I needed to grow up. I needed to do some healing. I needed to do some learning. I needed to make some decisions. And out of it, after 3 years of really trying to get the system to lean into who she was as a human being, not as an epileptic seizure, not as poor handwriting, not as just slow reading, not as just poor fine motor skills, but to look at her holistically, I couldn't get that right. And then I knew that when I sat in front of the neurologist and she made the comment, your daughter is under my care, I knew that that was false. My daughter was under my care, not the neurologist's care. And that's when I had to step it up. I had to man up. I had to woman up. I had to do the research. I had to step into, okay, if I am the one leading my family and leading my child, what do I need to change first? And I think that's the oxygen mask they talk about. The metaphor is too easily brushed aside. Put your oxygen mask on first, mom, before you help your kid. Well, what does that even mean? And I think, yes, it means get enough rest. It means eat well. It means exercise. It means you're not a parent all the time. You're only a parent when you're parenting your child. You're also a woman, a wife, a sports person, a crafter, whatever else you are as well. And you've got to make space for all of those things. Because when you make space for all the parts of you, you are a stronger parent. And when your child is young, and certainly when your child is struggling, you're a parent more in your life than you are the other things. It takes up a huge part of your life. But if you make space for your growth and your healing, and I don't necessarily mean time, you know, especially when we have special needs kids, we don't have hours on end to go gymming and having coffee with our friends to relax. We don't have those hours, but we can do the healing work and we can change as human beings. And we can mature and grow into the people that not only our children need, but that the child inside us needs. And we do our own healing work and we come out stronger. So the ask I have, and when I started the school, it's how I started the school for myself. I needed to step up. And that was tough because I needed to look myself in the mirror and go, that I'm not doing well. That I struggle with. How do I sort that out? And I'm a researcher at heart, so I leant into books and papers and I've spoke with people and I did my own therapy work as well. How can I bring myself to a point where I'm more solid, more grounded, more mature, more capable, more put together, more gracious, more accommodating, more compassionate, so that when I look at my daughter, I can look at her with soft, gentle eyes. And I can see all of her and I can see her pain, not just what she can't do and what she can do and her goals and what society says is the norm and what the system says she should be doing by now. And through all of that, I built a school where the teachers have space to be like that as well. And so much of my teacher-led ideas and my teacher training is based on parenting techniques. Because your child attends school for 6 years, 6 hours plus a day, 5 days a week, for 12 years, with these adults that you want to be as grounded and mature and as adult and as healed as possible, so that they bring this beautiful support to your child. And they don't bring their own issues in spades. And of course, we're all human. We have to be human. Repair is where the magic happens. The magic does not happen in not making mistakes. In fact, we embrace, I model mistakes. When I make a mistake, I'm able to say, I made a mistake. I see it. Thank you for helping me notice it. I wonder how I can change it. I wonder how I can learn. And I do that in front of the children, in front of my teachers. The repair work is where the healing happens. It's where the growth happens. And if we can model that for children, they grow and heal. But can you hear? It comes from the adults. It starts with the adults first. It starts with you, mom. It starts with you, dad. It does not start with your child. A while back, I read something that said we medicate our children when we aren't coping. And that hits right hard home to the heart of what I'm saying is if your child is not sleeping and you can't cope, you need to figure that out for you. If he's not sleeping, it's about his not sleeping. We don't medicate him so that you can cope. We try to figure out why he's not sleeping. What is going on for him? What's happening with his nervous system, with his emotional system, with his physical system, with his thinking system? Is his brain wired? What's his nutritional system like? Is his gut healthy? Is he struggling? Is he overheating, underheating? Is he dizzy? What's his vestibular system doing? Is his probe system in place? Or is he feeling anxious? What are the lights like? When is he eating? Does he have enough food in him? Is he moving enough with his body? Or is he sedentary? What are all these things that he needs? And the symptom of not sleeping or sleeping is the measure of whether he's becoming healthy. And when he starts to be healthy, that can be a measure of whether where your health is. Or when he's unhealthy, it's a measure of where your health is. Can you tolerate and regulate their dysregulation, or are you being triggered all the time? And why? The questions we ask ourselves as adults, not just as grown children, but as adults, are the hard questions. And I know when I speak about this, I get a lot of people unfollowing. I get a lot of people thinking that I'm blaming the mom or the dad. No, I'm asking the mom or dad to step up and be accountable for their adult role in this parenting journey. I'm asking them to not make their child the problem until they have looked at themselves and started the work. Because I don't want to say done the work, because we actually never done. I'm in my 50s now, and my children are about to turn 23, and I'm still not done with the work. I don't think I ever will be. This idea of we are destined to die incomplete is a remarkable mantra for my life, and I'm comfortable with that. But I want to strive. I want to strive to be a better human, a better parent, a better friend, a better human overall, so that I can bring more to my friendships, more to my family, more to my colleagues, more to the people that I serve, the children that I work with. If we can't look at ourselves, we have no right to look at somebody else. If we can't do the work on ourselves, we have no right to do the work on somebody else. And that's what my school is all about. It's about growing and developing the adults, the teachers, the assistants, the support staff, and the parents, so that the children can thrive, so they can grow up in an environment that is encouraging and motivating and secure and safe and compassionate, and they can build into who they are meant to be, rather than who the system is demanding them to be. Put the system down and look at your child. What do you want for them? What do you want for yourself?